I'm on page 34 in Shabbos, the fifth line, middle of Os Chav Dalad. We're in the middle of talking about, since the Mishnah had mentioned the three things, that the three mitzvahs of a woman, and therefore that if she's not careful with them, she may be in danger during childbirth. So that led the Gemara into a discussion of various other averas and the consequences of them. And then for a few of them also, for the flip side of it, the good results, for the great rewards for those mitzvahs. So now the Gemara continues, Ba'avon inui hadin, for the avera of delaying the din, which means, in other words, that Rashi explains, so you have, like this, obviously, the dayanim have to take their time figuring out, they have to spend the proper amount of time figuring out what the verdict should be. But once they've figured it out, they shouldn't just be delaying it unduly. When they're doing L'shem Shemayim, then good. But Inui Adin is where they're delaying it for no particular reason, just that. That's Inui Adin. The Ivur Sadin, and for corrupting the judgment, which means that they deliberately go and distort it. The Kilkul Adin, or messing up the Din, which is that Rashi explains, unlike Ivus, which is they deliberately distort it, Kilkul is just they didn't take their time to analyze it thoroughly, and therefore they come out with a wrong conclusion. Marsha says another possibility, Kilkul Adin, can also be that the Dayan himself came out with the correct verdict, but then the Sofrim, the court recorders, or the Shotrim, the bailiffs, go and then corrupt it and do the wrong thing. And Marsha mentions, by the way, Shabadur Hashem HaShamoshim, Shabadur Hazeh. He editorializes and adds that refers to the Shamoshim of nowadays. And in the Marsha's times, apparently there was a big problem with this kind of thing where the Shotrim and whatever were taking things into their own hands. So the Dayan, the Marshal says, has to warn them to not do that. In the Mamanus, we're talking about. In the Marshal's times, it didn't happen. In the Gemara, the Pashas means either one. I mean, in the case of right, but even so, it's still, the Gemara has an expression elsewhere, like you, so to speak, forcing Hashem to make it up to the injured party. So, yeah. Anyway, so for those Averis, for Bittul Torah, and also for not taking time inappropriately from learning Torah, Cherev Ubiza Rabba, so there comes the sword, Ubiza Rabba, and tremendous spoliation. People take the Goyisha enemies, come and take lots of spoils, the Dever, and epidemics, Uvatsores, and drought, but all of those things come. As the Gemara is going to derive here, the Gemara is going to be daushing and psukim from the Tochacha in Parashas Bechukosai on this, and it's going to show how all these things that are in one section of the Tochacha are all referring to as a result of these averas. People eat and they're not satisfied. No matter how much they eat, they don't feel full. And they eat their bread by weight, which means Rashi explains on the pasuk over there that the bread is made from bad quality grain or rotten grain or whatever, so it falls apart in the oven, and therefore they end up having to weigh out the crumbs because they can't slice it properly. As the pasuk says, "Ve'vesi aleichem cherev." The pasuk says, Hashem says, "I'll bring a sword against you." Nekemes nekam bris v'gomer, which is taking revenge, which is avenging, to revenge for the bris. And the bris, Rashi explains, refers to Torah. So therefore, that shows that bittul Torah has these results. And then it continues in the following psukim, b'shivri lochem mate lechem, when I break for you the staff of bread, in other words, that people won't have, so in other words, there'll be a drought and people won't be able to rely on to be able to get grain for bread. And 10 women will have to bake in one oven because there'll be a shortage of firewood. And then the pasuk continues that they'll have to divide up the bread by weight because again, it'll be crumbly. The in bris el Torah. Now the word bris over there, nekemes nekam bris, refers to not learning Torah. Shenemrim lo brisi yom v'laila, remember, as we find the pasuk that Hashem says, if it weren't for my covenant by day and by night, I wouldn't have set up the laws of the universe, which yom v'laila means the Torah, which you have to learn v'agis about yom v'laila. Then a few psukim later, it says, Yan over Yan, the Mishpatai Ma'asu, this is because, and again because, they rejected my Mishpatim. So rejecting my Mishpatim includes all the rules that Hashem set up for how to do Mishpat Emes, for how to do a true judgment. So therefore, that includes this Inui Adin and Ivus Adin and Kilkul Adin. So we see, therefore, that all of these consequences, the cherev, which is the fact that enemies with swords come, and they also, as they're attacking with swords, they also take lots of spoils, and that you have the dever and the batsoras, you have the shilachti dever besotachem. Rashi brings, the pasuk also mentions that Hashem says, I'll send epidemics among you, and the b'shivri lachem mati lachem is the batsoras, and the va'ofu esu nashim is the bread crumbling. So all of that you have as a result of bris and as a result of b'mishpatai ma'asu. And Moshe counts them a little bit differently. He brings a girsa from Yalkut Shimoni instead. You have in the Tochacha there in Parshas Bruchot Kosai, the punishments are divided into groups of seven. Rashi mentions it on the Pesukim as well. So if you count up over there the things that you have in that section, then you have seven different things that it mentions. And you see, therefore, that it all goes together. Marsha also asked, the b'mishpatei ma'asu is at the very end of the Torah. Fine, nekemes tekam bris, that's right before we just said that it's right in connection with cherev and with shilachti dever and so on and so forth. So fine, it's easy enough to say that that's a result of nekemes tekam bris for failing to learn Torah. But the b'mishpatei ma'asu, where is that? What does that have to do? That's many psukim later. So Marsha says, rather, you have to look at the beginning of the Torah, where it uses the expression "imas mishpate tigal nafshachem." If your souls reject my mishpatim, levilti asoyis as kol mitzvayse, you don't do all my mitzvahs, lahafra chemes brisi, and you violate my bris. So therefore, so we see that rejecting mishpat is included in violating the bris, which is the Torah. So it's not depending on the psukim at the end, but rather at the beginning. Continues the Gemara, ba'avon shvuas shavu shvuas sheker b'chilul Hashem b'chilul Shabbos, as for the averus of swearing uselessly, where shvuas shav is, for example, Rashi gives an example, a person swears about a man that he's a woman. Maybe nowadays that wouldn't just be such a shvuas shav. Nowadays, maybe you need to sometimes, but anyway, whatever. Sometimes you need to maybe just swear about a man that they're a man, because whatever, anyway. But anyway, that's shvuas shav. Shvuas sheker would be that it's not obviously false, and he's actually fooling people. Shavuos Shav, actually, the Gemara explains in Shavuos can have a couple of different meanings. It can mean where you're trying to change something that's known. For example, you swear that a man is a woman. It can also be you're swearing uselessly. For example, that this man is a man. And there's a couple of other examples. Anyway, Shavuos Sheker is where it's false and people don't realize it's false. So you're misleading people. Over Chilul Hashem and Chilul Hashem with all the different subcategories that are within that. The Chilul Shabbos, violating Shabbos, for all of those things, Chaya Rab Rabba, for all of that, wild animals increase and then start harassing and attacking people. Over Hema Kola, the domestic animals disappear because they get attacked and eaten by the wild animals. Over Ne'adim Smatin, the people also are reduced in number because they get attacked by the wild animals. Vadroch Mishtomimin, and the roads become desolate because people are afraid to travel on them. Shenema, as the Pasuk says also in the Teichacha, v'im be'eila loisi vosruli, the Pasuk says, if with these you will not be subjugated to me and you don't do tshuva, then it mentions all these things about wild animals and the domestic animals disappearing and so on and so forth. And al tukri be'eila ela ba'ola. So don't read be'eila with these, but rather ba'ola, because of ola, where the word ola is a synonym for Shavua. So therefore, Rashi explains that it includes both Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker. Now, by Shavuos Sheker, the Pasuk also says, V'chilalta, if you were to do a Shavuos Sheker, you would be desecrating the name of Hashem, because after all, Shavua is you swearing in Hashem's name. So if you swear on Sheker, the person swears on Sheker, then it amounts to that he's associating Hashem's name with falsehood. And similarly, you find Chilul Hashem and Chilul Shabbos are also described as Chilul, so therefore they all go together. And the Maharal has an explanation that all of them involve that a person is, in effect, reducing Hashem's, so we're pretending as though Hashem's involvement with the world is reduced. He's claiming that he can associate Hashem's name with vain things or with false things, saying that denying that Hashem created the world, making it that people respect Hashem less. So therefore, the result is that it has these effects on human society. So therefore, and the pasuk continues. The pasuk continues. I'll send against you. I'll incite against you the wild animals and so forth, and then and the rest of the consequences that we say. Marsha points out that by all the other ones, by all the other sections in the Tochacha, the expression is ve'im ad eila, if up until these you don't do tshuva, or ve'im teruchu imi bekeri, if you go in me, if you go with me in a way of casualness, which the Rambam explains. In other words, if people say these are not messages, these are not warnings from Hashem, this is just that the way the world is, sometimes these things happen, etc. But here instead you have this expression ve'im be'ela. So that allows us to darshan be'ela like be'ola. So by Shavuos Sheker, it says that if you shouldn't swear in my name falsely, and if you do, you would desecrate the name of Hashem. So therefore, you learn by Gzeira Shava on the word Chilul that the same way as Shavuos Sheker has these consequences, which that we darshan from the word Be'ela, which we're reading as though it said Be'ola, so do these other kinds of Chilulim have those consequences as well. Next, continues the Gemara, ba'avon shvichus damim, because of the aveira of spilling blood, of killing other people, beis hamikdash charev, the beis hamikdash is destroyed, or shechina mistalekes miYisrael, and the shechina leaves the Jewish people. Shenema, as you find at the end of Parshas Masei, v'loy sachanifu v'goymer, the pasuk warns you, don't pollute the land with innocent blood. V'loy satame sa'aretz hashatam yirshim ba, don't make tame the land in which you're living. Asher ani shochem b'secha, which I dwell in it. Ha, so the implication is yimatim matamino. So if you do defile the land with innocent blood, ein chem yoshvim ba, then you won't be able to live in it. You're going to go into golos. The eini shochem b'secha, and I won't dwell in it. And therefore, that means there'll be a churban, and I won't dwell among you. Marsha points out also the pasuk continues, Asher ani shochem b'secha bnei Yisrael. So therefore, it's not just Hashem's shechina doesn't just rest in the Beis Mikdash; it rests among the Jewish people. Like So therefore, it's not just the Beis Mikdash will be destroyed, but the shechina won't rest among the Jewish people either. Next, ba'avoin gilui arayis v'avodas kochavim v'ashmatas shmitin v'yovos, as a punishment for gilui arayis and avodah zarah and failing to keep Shmita and Yovel, Golus Bala Olam, for that Golus comes to the world, Umaglan Oysam, so the Goyim take the Jews into Golus out of Eretz Yisrael, Uvoin Acherim, the Yoshimim Koimam, and other nations come and settle in Eretz Yisrael instead. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kias Kol, after it mentions all the Arayas at the end of Parshas Achrimos, Kias Kol Teves Oel also Anshe Oretz Vemer, all the people of the land, the Knani nations did all of these disgusting things. Uchdiv, and the pasuk continues, Vatitma Oretz, the land became impure. For Efgad Avona Alehavavemer, and so I visited, I remembered, it's Averus against it, and threw out the people Vatokia Oretz Yeshveha. And the pasuk continues, and the pasuk continues, the land should not vomit you out if you make it tum. And Marsha adds that the pasuk also continues, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. So we see that Gilui Arayis causes that not only Jews, but also Goyim end up going into Golus from Eretz Yisrael. So it dispossessed them, and now the Jews took over. And now, when that causes the Jews to be dispossessed, then other people also come and take over. Worth mentioning, of course, in this connection, what Rashi mentions on the pasuk in B'chol Kosei, though, where it says "V'shamamu aleh oivechem," that it means that even though other nations will live in Eretz Yisrael, they'll still live there in very desolate conditions. They'll never live there in comfortable conditions. Eretz Yisrael waits for her own children to come back before it starts becoming fertile again. I think we may have mentioned in the Shir before something where the famous writer Mark Twain visited Eretz Yisrael about 170 years ago, and he describes it's absolutely desolate, and it's impossible to believe that this is the land flowing with milk and honey of the Bible, and how could anybody possibly live here, et cetera, et cetera. And, what would he say if he saw it now? Anyway. Now, by Avodah Zarah, the pasuk says, Hashem says that as a punishment for Avodah Zarah, I'll cause that your dead bodies will be lying on top of the dead bodies of your idols. And a few psukim later, it continues that I'll scatter you among the goyim. And it continues, I'll make your bate mikdash desolate. And I will scatter you among the nations. So we see that that's also a consequence of Avodah Zarah. And then as far as failing to keep Shmita and Yovel, and the passage continues, Oz Tirtza Oretz Shabbos Yeseha, then the land will be appeased for all of its Shabbosim, Kol Yimei HaShama, all the days that it's desolate, Va'atem Be'eretz Eivechem, when you are in the lands of your enemies, Ochtiv Kol Yimei HaShama Tishbos, and the next passage continues, throughout all the days of its desolation, and it'll rest, making up for all the Shmittas and Yovlas that you failed to keep. Which, in fact, Rashi mentions in a few places in Tanakh, that based on Seder Olam, that in fact there were 70 years of Golus Babel corresponding to a total of 70 Shmittas and Yovlas that they didn't keep throughout the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. And then the years before that, here and there, there were times when they did Tshuva, and they did, but then there were times when they were not keeping them. And altogether, over time, it added up to 64 Shmittas and then 5 Yovlas, and then the next Shmitta had begun as well, and they would have not kept it as well, so therefore they ended up having 70 years of Golus. So we see, therefore, that the failure to keep Shmita and Yovel leads to those consequences. Marusha mentions in this connection that line from Rashi about the Shamua Le'Oivechem, that there is sort of good news in there that the Goyim who live there are never going to be comfortable and never going to really be able to resettle Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Ba'avoy Navlo Sapeh, as a punishment for speaking Nivol Peh, for speaking a coarse, unclean language, Tsoris Rabbis of Zeris Koshis Mischadris, many troubles and harsh Xeris are come about newly, are renewed constantly. And the young men of Soni Yisrael, which is the Gemara's usual euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, Mesim, pass away. The widows, the orphans and the widows cry out to Hashem, and they're not answered as a result of Nivol Peh. Why does Nivol Peh have such severe consequences? And Mephoshim talk about the idea that a person, after all, is medaber. Their unique capability that no other creature has is the ability to speak. So therefore, when a person is metame, that then the consequences are much more severe. Shenema, as you have a posik in Yeshaya. Al-Kain, therefore, because of the Averis that's going to mention further in the posik, Al-Bachurav lo yismach Hashem, Hashem is not going to be happy with his young men, which means that refers, then Rashi says, you have the Tzoris and the Xeris, Ves Yisomav Ves Amonosav lo yirachem, he won't have Rachmonos on his orphans or his widows, so that's the Tzoyakin Ve'enen Nenim, because everybody are flattering and doing bad. Chonef is chanufa, is when you tell a person who's doing an aveda, it's okay, what you're doing is good. That's chanufa. The Gemara elsewhere talks about the severity of it. And every mouth is speaking nevola, is speaking unclean language. With all of this, Hashem's anger is not turned around, and his hand is still outstretched to punish. So we see, in other words, that's a result of these things. So Marsha says, okay, so the Pasuk mentions three things, Chonef Meira and Kol Peh Dover Nevola. Why are we attributing all of these consequences just to the Kol Peh Dover Nevola? The answer is, Marsha says, because since it says, B'chol Zois Lo Shav Apo, the Zois, this would refer to the last thing mentioned in the Pasuk, namely the Nivol Peh. What is that last phrase? And his hand is still outstretched. What does that mean? Omen of Chanan Barava means, for example, consider Hakol Yodin Kala Lamanichnas al Chuppah. Everybody knows why the Kala is going into the Chuppah. There's a few different opinions among the Rishonim what Chuppah is exactly. Is it what we think of as Chuppah? Is it the veil that she wears? Or is it the Yichud room? But whatever the case, everybody knows what's going to happen after that. She and her Chassin are going to have relations. Ella, so everybody knows that. Ella, kol amenabolas piv, but a person speaks improperly about that and uses coarse language about what's going to happen. Afilu choisman al gzaudin shal shivim shan latova. Even if previously Hashem has sealed a gzaudin on him that for 70 years, for his entire human lifespan, he'll have good. Hoifchin al of l'ra, it gets turned to bad for him. So therefore, in other words, that's the va'oid yodinatoria. The va'oid is, Rashi says, the lashon va'ed for a person's entire life. So a person's normal lifespan is 70 years. So throughout all that time, yod neturya, Hashem's hand is stretched out against him that he loses his schosim as a result of that. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabba bar Shila Amar Rav Chista, Kol Amar Nabolas Peh, a person who speaks Nivol Peh, who speaks unclean language like that, Ma'amikin Lo Gehenim, Hashem will make Gehenim very deep for him, as if, like, so to speak, it's harder to get out of. Shenema, as a pasuk says, Shucha Amuka Pi Zoris, a deep pit is the strange mouth. Which means, in other words, Marashah says, in Poshet Pshat, the Pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. Pizarus means, in other words, a person whose mouth is into speaking about Avodah Zarah. But since the word Zarus, Zarois in the plural, means strange things, so therefore it can also refer to an Isha Zara, to a strange woman, which has to do with the Znus, as it talks about in many places throughout Mishlei. So therefore it's saying, Shucha Amuka, the deep pit, is for Pizarus, is for the one whose mouth speaks foreign things, who speaks about an Isha Zara. The pastor doesn't make a difference what language. Speak good things. Yeah, that's what we're saying. What we're saying, in other words, even when you have to refer to the indelicate things in life, there's still a more refined way to speak about it. You know, the Rambam has the Rambam explains, and I think in Moreh Nevuchim, that the reason why Lashon HaKodesh is called that is because it doesn't have any words for the indelicate things in life. Yoshonim disagree with that and give different other reasons why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, but the fact is, classical Lashon Kodesh doesn't. Modern Hebrew does, because they invented words for it, or they borrowed from other languages, or whatever. But anyway. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Af Shemei Avishosik. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says not only the one who speaks the Nivol Peh, but also the one who's quiet, also the one who hears it and is quiet. And Ion Yaakov says all the more so, somebody who laughs about it, who considers this to be a good joke. Chenema, as the same pasuk continues, the same pasuk Shucha Amuka continues, Zum Hashem Yipol Sham, the one at whom Hashem is angry will fall into there. So therefore, so we understand, Rashi explains that it means the Zum Hashem means the one who didn't actually speak the Nivol Peh, but the one who hears it, Hashem is angry with him also for not protesting. Marsha points out also that the word yipol sham can also mean, the word yipo can mean not only to fall, it can also mean to be allied with, like al pnei kol achav nofel. So it means, in other words, he's allied with the other guy, as in he goes along with the nivol peh, therefore he has those consequences as well. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yehoshua, Kol Amarek Es Atzmei La'Aveira, a person who cleanses himself for Aveira, which means Rashi says he clears his calendar, he clears his mind and everything, he clears all of his other outstanding business in order to get involved in Aveira. In Gemara terminology, a lot of times Aveira specifically means Znus. So a person who does that, then there's going to be wounds and sores are going to come out on him. Shenema, as a pasuk says, chaburis petza tamruk bara, wounds, bruises of wounds, tamruk will be complete, bara in evil. So in other words, we're dashing the person who makes himself complete, who clears all of his other outstanding things in order to focus on Aveira, to focus on Ra. So the result is chaburis and petza. Not only that, but he gets punished with hidroikon, which Rashi just defines as a sickness. In various places in Shas, it comes out that it's basically in modern medical East, it's called edema. It's where water collects inside the cells or under the skin and causes various body parts to swell up. Water retention, basically. So a person who does that is punished with hidroikon. In particular, in some places, the Gemara mentions that the stomach swells up particularly. But anyway, shenemo makus chadre boten, as the same pasuk continues, and wounds of the inside of the stomach, meaning, in other words, that he gets punished with hidroikon, which is manifested mainly in the stomach. And Marsha points out, it's midah keneged midah, the same way as we mentioned before, that a woman who's not careful with the halachas of nidah, with the halachas of taras and mishpacha. So the Gemara expressed it, he kilkala b'chadre boten, that she acted wrongly with her insides, and therefore she's in danger during childbirth, which also involves her insides. The same way a man, it also involves his insides, and therefore the punishment is in the same area. So So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Nachman took simon la avera hidroikon. In fact, a simon that a person has been involved in avera, meaning znus, is this disease or this condition of hidroik. There is, by the way, in this connection, a story involving the Alter Rebbe and Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchever, where one time this guy goes to Rav Levi and he says, I was nichshol in znus, and then Rav Levi starts asking him to make a long story short. It turns out that he'd been planning it for a while. The woman that he was with, he made sure ahead of time that she's not going to be nida at the time. So Rav Levi tells him, what's that? You know, you took so long planning your avera, so it wasn't just a spur of the moment thing. You actually planned for it. I can't really help you. And he sends him off to the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe makes a tikkun for him. I may have that backwards, actually. It might be he first went to the Alter Rebbe and then to Rebbe. I think I have it correct that it was first Rebbe Levick and then the Alter Rebbe. Anyway, the Alter Rebbe explained that as much as Rebbe Levick is a Melech Yoshua on the Jewish people, he kind of had to draw the line over there. But so that fits then with our Gemara over here about Hamamarakat. Anyway, the Gemara continues. When Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying simen la'aveira hidroikon, there are actually three kinds of hidroikon. Shel aveira over, the one that's caused, as we said, by the aveira of znus, that is over, that's thick. In other words, so what happens is the swelling takes place under the muscles, and therefore the whole flesh, the muscles and the skin feels very hard as a result of the water retention. The shorov tefuach, on the other hand, the one that comes from famine, from hunger, is swelled up, which means Rashi explains. So you have the water collects basically between the muscles and the skin. So therefore, so the skin looks more transparent than it should. The shokshofim dak, and the one that's caused by a person being subjected to black magic, that one is thin in the sense that his muscles are like wasted away. So therefore, so you could actually, if you examine it carefully, then the point is you can tell the difference between one and the other. Marsha points out that actually elsewhere the Gemara talks about a fourth kind that in Brachas it says that if a person when going to the bathroom when going for gdolim, if he pulls back the waste into his body, then it can also cause hidroik. Marsha says, okay, that one maybe doesn't have a particularly noteworthy simen. There's no particular simen that you could look at a person suffering from a hidroikon and say necessarily this was caused by that. So the Gemara continues. Shmuel HaKotan Choshbei. Shmuel HaKotan, the famous tzaddik we had in Brachas. He's the one who created the Baruch of Olam HaShinim and so on and so forth. Anyway, Choshbei, one time he suffered from a hidroikon. Omar, he says, Rebbeinu Shlomo, Mi Mefis, Hashem, who's going to make a girdle? In other words, people aren't going to necessarily realize these distinctions that the Gemara just said between the different kinds of a Jerukon. They're going to see that I have a Jerukon. They're going to jump to conclusions that I was guilty of Znus. Itasi, and so he was cured. Hashem made a nest, and he was cured. And it continues the Gemara. Abaya Choshbe, Abaya one time suffered from a Jerukon. Omer Rabba or Rava Yadina Bem Nachmeni Demach bin Nafshe. I know about Nachmeni that he starves himself. So in other words, Rava or Rabba is saying, Chas v'shalom, to think that Abaya had it because of Avera. He had it because he's not eating enough. He's undernourished. Why Abaya is called Nachmeni? There's a few different explanations. Is it that Nachmeni was his real name and he was nicknamed Abaya? Because Rabba, who raised him, his father was named Nachmeni, and he didn't want to call him by his father's name, so therefore he nicknamed him Abaya, which is Rosh Tevis Hashem B'chol Yerucham Yosem. Or there's an explanation the other way around: his real name was Abaya, and he's nicknamed Nachmeni because he was raised by Rabba Nachmeni. Anyway, and many places in Chas where Rabba calls him Nachmeni. Anyway, continues the Gemara: Rabba Choshbei, Rabba himself one time suffered from a Jericho. So the Gemara asks, why would Rava do that? Avera is obviously out of the question. Kshofim, apparently the Gemara understands, is also out of the question, maybe because great tzaddikim like Rava and Abaya are not going to be affected by Kshofim. So the only other one would be because of Rav on the face of it. And v'har Rava hu d'amar, didn't Rava himself say, first of all, Rashi explains that The very fact that Rava says Yadayna Beim Nachmeni, I know that Nachmeni starved himself. That means, in other words, that Rava disapproves of that way of acting. So therefore, he's not going to undernourish himself like the way Abaya did. And are you going to say it's because he held himself back from going to the bathroom? But Rava says Nefishi Ktile Keder Nefichei Chafin. There are even more people who are killed by Keder. Keder is Maloshim Kedera. It actually says a pot. So it refers to failure to go to the bathroom, where you're supposed to go to the bathroom and spill out the contents like a pot, and a person doesn't. There are more people killed by that than there are people who are swollen from hunger. So in other words, Rava is disapproving of, so Rava is telling us to be careful to go to the bathroom in time and not to hold it back. So therefore, we shouldn't assume that Rava himself would disobey his own advice. He's not going to be starving himself because the fact that he expressed himself like that about Abaya, Rashi explains, means that he disapproved of that behavior of Abaya's. Or Marsha says differently, that the very fact that he says that that there's more people killed by failing to go to the bathroom than by hunger implies that he disapproves of both. So therefore, he's not going to do either one. So he's going to be careful about both of them. So why would Rava suffer from a Dereikon? And the answer is shiny Rava. It was different in Rava's case. The ansi le rabbonin be idne baal korchei. In the time, he had fixed times to be able to learn with his talmidim, and they would force him. In the sense, he has a fixed time to learn with them. So therefore, he didn't have the opportunity to go to the bathroom. So therefore, there would be times when he would be holding it in, and that eventually led him to suffer from hijroikon. So it was a Baal Kocha, but it was against his will. He wouldn't do that if he had a choice in the matter, but because the Talmidim were pushing him to teach them Torah, then he didn't have a choice. The Gemara continues, Tanan Abban, Abba Simonim Hay. There are four Simonim, in other words, there are four physical ailments that a person might have, which represent that they did different kinds of Aveira, that they're guilty of different kinds of Aveira, so different kinds of Midisros. Simon La Aveira Hidroikon. A simon of Aveira of Znus is a Dereikon, or at least one kind of a Dereikon, like we said. Simon la Sinas Chinam Yerokin, a sign that a person has Sinas Chinam is Yerokin, which is jaundice. Simon la Gasa Ruach Anius, a sign that a person is a Baal Gaiva is Anius, is poverty. And Rashi brings from a Gemara in Kiddushin, we don't mean poverty in money, we mean poverty in knowledge of Torah. And the reason is, first of all, because Baal Gaiva thinks, I know everything there is to know already, so he's not going to bother learning, he's not going to bother reviewing his learning, he's not going to bother checking with others to make sure that he's not getting it wrong, etc. And the last one, Simon, the Loshon Hara, which, again, Marusha points out, as far as Yerok and as far as jaundice, it can also, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that same Gemara in Brachas mentions that if a person retains his urine, it can cause jaundice. Same thing, Marusha says, maybe there may be a difference between that kind of jaundice and the other. It can also make a person infertile, yeah. And the fourth one, Simon the Lashon Hara Askara, a sign that a person is guilty of Lashon Hara is that he suffers from the disease Askara, which the Gemara is going to explain soon. Now she brings over here, it starts out in the stomach and ends up in the throat. It's usually translated as diphtheria, where it's a disease, Rahman al-Tlan, where the person there's a growth in their throat that eventually chokes them. So that's a punishment for Lashon Hara. We can understand it's Midah Keneged Midah. Tanan Rabbanan, so the Gemara continues in this vein. Askara Bala Olam Ala Meiser. What causes Askara? What causes an epidemic of Askara to come to the world? Ala Meiser, for the fact that people don't give Meiser. People eat their produce as Tevel. So since eating tevel is chayev misa b'dei shamayim, so therefore the particular misa b'dei shamayim is askara, where Rashi points out, after all, what happens when a person eats tevel? It goes down his throat and goes into his stomach. Therefore, midah k'neged midah, it starts in the stomach and winds up affecting his throat. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, Omar, Lashon Hara, and Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi says, like we just said, that it's for Lashon Hara. Like it said in the Braisa. The Gemara says, Omar Rabba, Rava V'Temer, Rabbi Shurban Levi, Maikra, where's a Pasuk that expresses that idea that there's a connection between Askara and Lashon Hara? The Pasuk says, V'Amelech Yismach Velikim, the king, referring to David HaMelech, referring to the other kings of the Jewish people, will be happy in Hashem. Yishalo Tola Nishva Boy, everybody who swears by him, by Hashem, can praise themselves. They can be proud of the fact that they have Hashem as the, that they have Hashem on their side. ki yisacher pi dover shocker, because the mouths of those who speak falsehood will be yisacher. So yisacher literally means closed up, but it's also related to the word askara. Maharsha explains specifically that the connection with the Hamelach Yismach Belikim, what's going on over here is we know from the Gemara tells us a whole story in Yevamos that there was a whole discussion about whether David is Roy Lover Bekahal because his great grandmother is Rusa Mayavia, and particularly Doeg was falsely arguing that David is his apostle Lover Bekahal because he claimed that he doesn't hold of the Din Amoni Vlay Amonis Mayavi Vlay Mayavis. So now David is saying, "V'amelach yismach lelekim," the king, which is me, should be able to be happy in Hashem, happy in the sense that everybody should realize that I'm kosher and deserve to have the malchus. Yishalo kol anishba boy, anybody who swears by the king, meaning chay hamelach, a person swears by the life of the king, can pride himself on that he's swearing properly. And ki yisachar pi dover shocker, because you'll see that those who spoke falsely, those who spoke against me and claim that I'm apostle, are going to wind up having askara, which is what people who speak lashon hara deserve. So we see the connection between askara and lashon hara. So iboy lahu, but the Gemara says they had a question. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yesi al lashon hara kama, or dima af al lashon hara nami kama. When Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yesi says al lashon hara, and previously, the Braisa had said, the Tanakama of the Braisa had said, Ala Meiser, does Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi mean exclusively for Lashon Hara? So he disagrees. It says not because of Meiser, only because of Lashon Hara. Or Duma Afa Lashon Hara, Nami Komar, or maybe it means it can be for both, for not separating Meiser as well as for speaking Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come, let's prove it from a Braisa. K'nichnasu Rabbi Seinu L'Kerem B'Yavne, when our Rabbeim came into Kerem B'Yavne, which is the yeshiva in the yeshiva, the famous base medrash in Yavne. Rashi explains that they sat in there in rows like a vineyard, so therefore that's why it was called Kerem B'Yavne. It comes from a Yerushalmian brachas that says that. Hoyusham Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon. There were three chachamim over there, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shimon. Nishalo Sheila Zubafnehem. This question was asked to them. Makazu, this disease of Askara, why does it begin in the stomach and end up the later progression of it is in the mouth? Why dafka those two body parts? Rabbi Yehuda bar Biloy, who was the chief speaker at every occasion, as we'll learn tomorrow, the whole story of how he got that title. So he says, but Omar, he speaks up and he says, because even though, as we learned in Brachas, the kidneys give advice, they filter out the blood, and therefore metaphorically they also filter out a person's ideas and help them decide what the right thing is to do. And then in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it talks about that they correspond to Netzach and Hoid. So the lev mevin, and the heart is what understands what to do in the first place. So even though those organs are also involved in the whole thought process, the loshen mechatech, and it's the tongue that actually that slices up the breath into individual letters. The fact is peg goimer. The fact is the mouth is what completes. You express what you want to say with the mouth. So there, because it comes out of the throat. So therefore, he says. So therefore, lashon hara. Even though lashon hara involves all of those organs, but it actually comes into action through the mouth. Therefore, it's appropriate that the mouth, that the throat leads to the mouth, is the site where askara winds up. So continues the Gemara. Nenu Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi v'Amar. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi speaks up and says, "They show ichon bad varim tmei." The reason for askara is because people eat things that are tamei, which tamei can mean literally tamei, or it can mean non-kosher food. But the Gemara asks, dvorim tmeim sakadayadach, you're going to tell me dvorim tmeim? Fine, it's a big avera, but to the extent that it should be, that a person should be chayev nisa for it, lashon hara, fine, but this, but rather it's because people eat with their mouth food that has not had meiser taken from it. Again, tevel is misa b'dei shemayim. The point is, in other words, that we see from that, the Gemara is going to end up saying that it means Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yosi. Here he's saying that it's because of failure to give meiser. Earlier he said it's because of lashon hara, so therefore it means he's saying it's both. It's one or the other. Either one of them can be a cause of askara. And we'll continue tomorrow with the rest of the discussion, what Rav Shimon has to say about it, and then we'll get into the whole story of how Rav Yehuda became Rosh HaMadabrim B'chol Makom. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Chav Zayin Ad Beis. We know there's the concept of mitzvahs b'teilus l'asid lavet, mitzvahs will be nullified in the future. So we know, and it's known that Eva talks about that. According to some opinions, that period of mitzvahs b'teilus l'asid lavet is the period of tchias amesim, the second period of Yemos Mashiach, as opposed to during the first period of Yemos Mashiach before tchias amesim. Then we'll be keeping mitzvahs to the ultimate degree. For that reason, that is why the din is that you're allowed to use a piece of cloth that has kelayim in it, or even where the kelayim is lost and you can't find it, you're allowed to use it for tachrichim. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef says, from here we see mitzvahs pelas lasid lavoi, which means exactly that. Rashi explains over there, you're allowed to make tachrichim out of kelayim, even though when the person gets up by tchias amesim, he's going to be standing up with his clothes that he was buried in. That shows that mitzvahs pelas lasid lavoi. And then in tomorrow's installment, and the one after that, then we'll continue that ever analyzes this point of mitzvahs, peilus, loss of love, and just what that means. Halacha. We started on the halachas of the brachas on fragrances, on good smells. So you have different brachas depending where it comes from. If it's a fruit, where if it's an edible fruit, whether it's priya eitz, priya adama, and even if it's only something that you can only eat by mixing it with other things, for example, nutmeg or lemon or esrog, during sukkahs, by the way, is a different din. You can't smell the esrog during sukkahs, but that's a different din. Anyway, so mainly this fruit is meant for eating. Therefore, the bracha is asher nosan reyach tov bapeis, that Hashem gave a good fragrance in fruit. That's specifically when you intended to smell it. Or even, the Alter Rebbe adds, even if you pick up the fruit intending to eat it, and you first put it to your nose to enjoy the aroma before you eat it, then you also make the bracha. If you didn't mean to smell it, and you just meant to eat it, and you happen to smell it, then you don't make a bracha on the smell. Also he adds that if a person smells roasted coffee, which also has a good smell, then you also say, Asher nosan reyach tov bapeis, because coffee, after all, comes from beans that grow on a tree. Kanana min akasha matzah kashbrochu zakhis so fikh balam tamis shnema adrekh matzah kev